stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome back to Administrative Static. I wanted to talk about an amicus brief that NCLA filed at the Supreme Court this week on the merits. This is a case that we've talked about before, John, the Starbucks Corporation v. Kathleen McKinney, a case, Kathleen McKinney being the regional director of Region 15 of the National Labor Relations Board. And essentially what's at issue here, and this was an amicus brief that NCLA filed, but what's at issue in this case is the fact that the NLRB was able to obtain a preliminary injunction against Starbucks over some employees that it fired. I believe it was in Memphis, Tennessee, if I remember correctly. And there was an underlying labor dispute and question over whether Starbucks could fire these people at the time that they did or in the way that they did and so forth. But usually in order to get a preliminary injunction, and we have been over this a few times, there's four different steps that a party has to satisfy. You have to show, most importantly, that you're likely to succeed on the merits. And the thing that's different about a preliminary injunction at the NLRB, and only the NLRB, they're the only ones who get the benefit of this absurdly low bar that they have to clear in order to get a preliminary injunction. Usually it's tough to get a preliminary injunction. But they get something called the reasonable cause test. And under this test, they have to show to the court that the NLRB's claims are not frivolous and that those claims serve the NLRB's remedial purposes. And that's a very, very low bar. So you'll notice that they don't have to show that they're likely to succeed on the merits. And the problem with that from NCLA's perspective is that the United States Constitution has the Fifth Amendment. And that pesky Fifth Amendment says you're not going to be deprived of liberty or property without due process of law. And this allows the NLRB to deprive the Starbucks Corporation of property, i.e. money.
And liberty to fire people.
And liberty to fire people, that's true, without due process of law, because it's putting this preliminary injunction in place without even showing that the government's charges are more likely than not to be true.
Yeah, and not frivolous, just so everyone knows, if you file a frivolous pleading, you can be sanctioned. So as long as you file a pleading that is not sanctionable.
Right, right. Yeah, in fact, maybe Starbucks should have asked for Rule 11 sanctions as the first thing. And then, it's really, really hard to defeat this low standard. And by the way, I saw some statistics, and they're not, they weren't in our press release, and I can't remember if this was in our brief or not. I don't think it was, John. I think I saw this in a news article. But it was just talking about, maybe not surprisingly, the fact that the NLRB has really stepped up the number of times in recent years that it's using this injunctive power. And my response to that was of course, because you've created this incentive for them to get away with seeking injunctions on a very low standard. So what's their incentive? Their incentive is to bring charges, right? And then immediately seek a preliminary injunction based on those charges. And if they do that and they get the preliminary injunction, well, then they're 90% of the way home, because what they wanted the company to do, the company now has to do, and the company can continue to fight it out if it wants to. A lot of companies are going to capitulate because it's just expensive and a hassle and whatnot for them to try to oppose what the NLRB is doing. So maybe I should say props to Starbucks for at least pushing back. Whether they're guilty of the charges that the NLRB has filed or not, I'm not in a position to say. But what I am in a position to say is that this absurdly low bar that NLRB had to satisfy before getting the injunction against Starbucks makes no sense at all.
Yeah, and the ability to enjoin someone so easily is a tremendous administrative power to
huge
have.
Huge power,
because you've already frozen in place everything you want for as long as the case goes on.
And the administrative agency is in charge of how long the case goes on. They can drag it out.
Yeah, that was going to be my second point.
Oh, sorry.
No. But you're absolutely you're absolutely correct. And I think that that it's lasted this long is really amazing. I think what might have originally happened, and I don't know, but I think it was just everything with the NLRBs, the 30s and 40s, and all these really bad fights between labor unions and the corporations. And I think that they probably it probably came along from that, that the courts just wanted it to stop violence or something.
Well, and I think probably that the NLRB was judicious about when it took advantage of this low bar. And it probably, you know, even though it didn't have to show likelihood of success on the merits, they probably only used it when the court would sort of glance at the merits and be like, oh, yeah, okay, it looks like you got a pretty good case here. And now, you know, they've thrown that to the wind. They're like, oh, look, a fancy tool that we can use that gives us lots of power. Let's use it. Like, let me have the Tesseract. Yeah. You know, this is too good to pass up.
Yeah, it must be. Now, I'm just wondering, what does Starbucks want out of this?
Well, they want the preliminary injunction dissolved, right? I think they don't want to be – well, first of all, they had to keep these people on board and keep paying them, right, who they wanted fired. And obviously, this is a huge company, right, with nationwide workforce. And I guess I don't know enough about the way Starbucks operates, what percentage of its stores are company stores versus franchisees and that kind of thing.
I don't either. But I was wondering why they really are fighting hard on this, and it is so hard to get one of these up to the Supreme Court that it is interesting.
Well, it could be too that you know they see which way the wind is blowing on judicial deference, and you know we have a Supreme Court right now who recognizes that the pendulum has swung too far in favor of federal administrative agencies, and that the courts have been deferring too much to the executive branch, and that it's time for courts to reassert their responsibility to interpret the law the way that Congress wrote it. And maybe we didn't say this, John, this is a judge-created doctrine. This is not in the statute. Nowhere in the National Labor Relations Act does this lower bar exist, or does this standard for when NLRB gets a preliminary injunction instantiated. This is something that was completely made up by the courts. And it's not just the Sixth Circuit below. And, you know, I should say that the Sixth Circuit below was bound by prior circuit precedent. So the particular panel below didn't have much choice. I mean, it could have gone en banc. And as far as I know, they didn't call for rehearing en banc. But I think Starbucks knows that it has a textualist Supreme Court, and that the lack of support for this test in the NLRA is probably going to be the death knell for it.
Right, and there's five circuits that follow this. So it's not like some isolated thing where, you know, I won't name any circuits, but, you know.
Right. Well, and the only thing I'd say about that is, and I say this as a former clerk on the Sixth Circuit, a lot of labor law in the United States is based on Sixth Circuit law, because Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee are the Sixth Circuit. And so, but particularly Michigan and Ohio, you got a lot of industrial labor relations. So we had several significant
cases.
Coal
mines.
Some in Kentucky, yeah. I suppose. But you obviously have a lot of those in West Virginia and the Fourth Circuit as well. But we did have some black lung cases. So I know there were some there's some coal mines for sure in the Sixth Circuit. But there's a disproportionate effect that the Sixth Circuit has. And I didn't go back and look, John, at when the Sixth Circuit case came down, in the consecutive order of the five circuits that had gone that way. Right. But I wouldn't be surprised if they were first or second, and then other sort of like courts will look to the Second Circuit on financial, contracts and things like that. Other circuits will look to the Sixth Circuit on labor law issues. And so I would have liked to have seen them go en banc and change it. But maybe Starbucks, they obviously didn't call for it sua sponte. Maybe Starbucks didn't give them the opportunity to do that. And it was perfectly happy to take its chances at the Supreme Court. But I'm glad to see that Starbucks is willing to do this. And I do think that for textualist reasons, and because this sort of deference is increasingly out of style, that Starbucks has a very good chance to prevail here.
And what do you mean by deference? Deference to the agency?
Deference to the agency, yeah.
Okay.
Because
in other words, not requiring them to do everything that everyone else has to do is a type of deference.
Yeah, it's maybe the wrong word, but you're giving them a lower, a kind of a presumption, working in favor of a preliminary injunction that no other party is getting, and that seems problematic to me.
The irreparable harm part, it says,
that's not there either.
I took a look at the brief, and it looks like when you do the balance of harms analysis, it could go against the government, but they could still get an injunction. Now, that is pretty bad.
Yeah, that's right. Even if there's a disproportionate burden on the employer, even if the irreparable harm is to the employer, not to the government, none of that matters because those aren't elements in the test that NLRB has to satisfy. And that's part of the problem, too. And so, I mean, you said, what does Starbucks want out of this? I mean, what they've said they want is that the same preliminary injunction test to apply to the NLRB that applies to everybody else. And, you know, that would be useful in all of the different kinds of cases that NLRB brings, because this isn't – the other thing is this test isn't limited to one context. This is an agency-specific test, not a cause of action-specific test,
if not just for terminations, for everything.
Right, for everything that NLRB does. So if you're a company with a lot of employees like Starbucks, then I could imagine why you would want to see the Supreme Court reject this NLRB-specific preliminary injunction standard. So the case will go in front of the Supreme Court now. It's been briefed. Amicus briefs in Starbucks support have gone there. I guess the government's response brief will be coming next, and then Starbucks will get a reply brief. But this will be teed up sometime in April for oral argument. I don't think the date has been set yet, but it maybe it has. But it'll be sometime in April, and we'll have a decision by the end of June.